Testing. Sunday morning, August 26, 1979, talking to Josephine Roberts in Tanana.
Yeah, since last night and stuff, we were talking about the Novi.
Oh, my springtime in Novi. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what more I could say about Novi unless that it was some experience paddling all the way out of Novi. Anyway, Dad took over later early in the morning, I guess, when he figured that we're tired, you know.
What do you think of that river?
It's a beautiful river.
What makes it beautiful?
Well, I guess what makes it beautiful for me is that you can just go on and on and on, and then deep canyons on both sides, some places. Paddling out, that's a job. You know, if you had outboard motor, I think it would be more enjoyable. But then when you're young and strong, I guess it don't matter.
Did your family ever go back to the Novi after that?
Nope. Just that one time. I don't think I'll paddle out the second time.
Was it because it was too much work?
No, it wasn't that. I guess it wasn't worth it after you couldn't shoot beaver anymore. You have to trap beaver. They done away with shooting at beavers, you know, about that time. I don't know what year it was. And then I think that's a smart thing to do, you know. Just trap beaver, not shoot at it. Because I think beaver would have been a thing of a past.
Well, what is happening with that land down there in the Novi River now?
Like somebody was telling us, it's closed to hunting season this year, like Mary Dick was telling us. And I think it's good because every fall I see so many boats going downriver, just loaded with gas. And you know that they're you know where they're going, one place, and that's Novi. You know they're not going to Keokuk River because they're not easy on them around there at all. They even shoot at them, I hear, you know, around Kuslia. They had two or three people at Novi, at Mouth of Novi last year, checking boats, you know.
What were they checking?
Make sure that they had their moose, the meat, you know. But still, I don't know if that worked out. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, you were saying something about deer's antlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's quite a few of them that they stop here. They have to stop here. You know, that's supposed to be one of the checkpoints. And I know in one case, you know, they say that there was two moose horns, big ones, no meat. And I guess they asked them, well, where's the meat? And they said, under the ball. Oh, they were reported. I don't know if anything was being done about it or not. But sure, just same size as your bow out there. And you know darn well that's not going to hold two moose unless they're magicians. Don't go for that. We're really not that dumb.
People around here get really upset when they see that.
Oh, yes. That's right. Although we have other places to hunt, you know, like Hayslu, Redland, Krasna. Not so much Krasna anymore because from what we hear, there's a lot of people moved in there too now. I know we used to go hunting, my husband and I, around there. But I hardly do any of that anymore. Sad to say, that's one of my favorite thing to do. Two nights every fall, two nights or three nights or whatever, you know. Well, that's my favorite doing. It's just being out hunting.
That has to be the workout.
No, there's just nobody to go out with, you know, that's the thing. And I think my old man spoiled me because he was a good hunter for me. He used to know how to camp good. And, well, I just like the way he did things, you know. Kind man. Never take to cussing or anything like that. I guess that's why I never remarried. I always feel that I'll never find another man like him.
I think I'll unplug
it. Oh, yes. Oh, we weren't going too long anyway.
Well, since this is a story about your life, and your husband was such a large part of that, maybe you want to say some things about him, you know, what it was like living with him.
Oh, like I said, he was a heavy drinker before we married, but he decided that he's going to quit. Because that's one of the things he knew that I hated about drinking, being married to a guy that drinks. You know. So he quit. Or I didn't say he didn't quit altogether. Oh, he used to drink once in a while, especially if I go to Fairbanks. And then his kids have a lot of fun with him. So that was it.
What kind of work did he do?
He used to go on construction every summer, but then after a while, I find myself that I was too lonesome, you know. I was always lonesome. So I tell him, well, no more of this. You going out for the summer, you know. Tell him that's the time we should be together, you know, and going out and do things together. So we don't get to do that much in winter time. So I tell him, well, I'm decided that I'll just go back to work and you just hang around Tanana and then just do whatever the job there is around here in summertime. Because I thought with the little kids, you know, somebody need to take care of them, and that's what we did. We worked something out. He was here summertime, do some little work around here, you know. And then it worked out. Well, he worked for some, like if there was a little construction job, well, he did it, or firefighting, and then we got babysitter. So that was it. It worked out pretty good for us. I was happy. I'm glad I did, because he didn't live too long. We were married 24 years when he died. We almost made it 25 years, I guess. Just another so many months, and then we would have made it 25 years. August 25th, 1972. Here he died. What do you call those brain hemorrhage? He died with brain hemorrhage. Mm-hmm. One morning, he just took me to work. There was nothing wrong with him. 11 o'clock, he was stricken. They rushed him to Anchorage Hospital, but it didn't do any good. It seemed like yesterday for me. I sing along with the group all the time, you know, but I'm like the rest of the people. I don't lead and singing. I always, I guess I could do it if I practice enough where we could start out a song on our own, but then I always wait for somebody. Yeah. I do a lot of Indian singing.
Do you have a major
accent? No, I'm not that lucky. It just have to come to you. It does with a lot of people. All of a sudden the song is there for them with the right words and everything. A lot of these Indian songs, they have beautiful words in them. If you understand the language, you get to wonder how people could make such beautiful songs, you know, with the right words in it. I'm not lucky, I think.
Well, what is your favorite song about? Do you have one favorite one?
Yeah, I have one favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that's one thing I cannot translate what it says in a song because I don't know what words in it. Since I have to use kind of old words in them all the time the way it's worded, you know. I never had much experience with Indian singing or anything like that when I was growing up. Because we tried to have, or I say we, they tried stick dance one time at Glena, but it was kind of flop, if I remember correctly. I was small then, you know.
Why didn't it work out?
Because it's not their thing, I guess. It's good for Nalada because they're expert at it, you know. And it has a lot of meaning for them. Same as Caltag. Those are the only two places where they have stick dances.
Well, did the church or the priest ever, the fathers ever say anything
about? They used to. But they're not anymore. They still have stick dances and they're Indian singing down there. Not so much at Galena. The one that I remember they had the last time was the one Gladys Malamute had for her son. She had memorial potlatch for her son, but it wasn't the stick dance, you know. She had something like, I think. I know she had wool skin. I don't know if she did have wolverine skin or anything. Those are the things that you're supposed to put forth when you're having your Indian memorial potlatch.
Well, you're going to have a memorial
potlatch
next year.
Yes. I committed
to it.
You have to do a lot of sewing. It's for the people that help you, you know, all during the time. Burying your husband, people that dug the grave for you, people that help with all the cooking and feeding the people during this time. And it went on, I don't know how many days, you know, people eating here, people cooking, bringing cooked food. I know I didn't eat for days, it seemed like. And then all of a sudden one day, Pauline White sent a roast turkey. And the way it was roasted, you know, it was just brown and it just, and then they said, come on, you better eat. And I sat down, I looked at the turkey and boy, I felt like eating, you know. She's like, that's the first thing I remembered about what was going on around here. Well, I'm here every day doing normal thing, but seems like I was just, I don't hardly remember anything. I don't remember who helped, really, when I think about it right now. I ask my kids, but they don't remember either.
Well,
But then the people that I remembered that were concerned about me when they heard my husband died, because he died about 9-something, and my daughter was at Anchorage, she went with him because I didn't want to go. I felt like that I cannot bear it, you know, if I just brought his body back. And the way I saw it, he's not going to make it. And the doctor said, you're going with him. I looked at him, and I couldn't say anything. And my daughter said, I'll go with my dad. And I said, to be good, because I said, I feel like that I don't want to go. So she went, and I waited here for a phone call, and around 9 o'clock, 9:15, phone call came through. Joyce called, and she said, Mom, she said, Dad didn't make it. That was it. She started crying, but she had friends there, but his name was with her. I always forget his name. Ken Stone was with him. Was with Joyce, you know. I say, who's with you? He said, Ken Stone is with me. And I said, good. So I hung up, you know. And then, seems like David Elia is always there with me when I lose my husband. He was there when I lost my first husband. And then when I lost my second husband, he was there again. All I remember I did was I went in the back room and I got my husband's pillow. I came out here and sat on a couch with it, and that's all it seems like I remember. And then people start coming in afterwards. And then I remember, I think it was Emily Elia. David sent her over. He said, you better go over and stay with her. And Helen Peters. There was three ladies that was here with me, and I can't remember the third lady. And my son was just out of the service then, he was here. I remember he always sat by my bed. Every time I tried to go to bed and try to sleep, he's sitting there by my bed. That's all I remember. And then turkey time. I remember people coming, you know, my brothers, my sisters, they all came. That was a sad time for me. I was young, first time I lost my husband, you know, and he was sick a long time, and I expected it. But the second time I did not. No, I figure I knew who I'll give something to, because I know my best friend Pauline Kane, Effie Cochrane, was here because she was a good friend of me and my husband, you know. Those are the people. And I know Altona came, Altona Brown, she came. Those are the people I remember. My cousin came, Hazel Strasberg. My dad came, Bessie. Those are the people that I know, you know. So I know, I really know kind of what to do, I think. Yeah. And then you make sure that you have enough for everybody. I mean, you know. So that's why I didn't want to have my podcast this year, because I know I'm not ready. Because I still have a lot of sewing to do. Well, right now I have a lot of knitted stuff, and I have some blankets. And then my girls are doing some embroidery work, and I'm doing some, and I'm doing some bead work, like slippers. And I, Greg gives me, I don't know how many marten skins he gave me, which is good. The small ones, you know. And he said, well, and he gave me Wolverine skin, so I don't need to worry about that. So I gotta make sure that I give him a good present, you know. That's one thing. And I have standing some, but I never finished. I started some and then I just never got around to it. I just, summertime, you know. And then I got some more beaver skins to tan. And I've been buying new skin. It takes money. It really takes a lot of money. And a lot of sewing. Planning on making some canvas boots, slippers, marten calves.
What do people do when you don't have enough money?
They just don't have it. I mean, it's just the people that feel like doing it are the ones that comes forth with the podcast, you know. I guess if they feel hard enough for their relative, that's been done in the past all the time, you know.
Maybe you could talk about what kind of things you think that you might have learned from
each other having lived together for so long. Maybe the electricity goes down. See, it has to have enough. But I think that, yeah. You know, the light is on. Well, we try to raise our kids the best we could. Like if we were going to have a few words, we never did it in front of our family. And they remember that too. They always mention it, you know. And I always put my family before anything else. Like I thought, well, if I'm going to raise my own family, that's one thing I gotta do is not drink, not smoke. I guess I got that from my father. And I'm not sorry. Although all my kids smokes and drinks, most of them anyway, you know. But I guess that's their thing. It's the new generation. That's the way I look at it, you know. But I always tell them, well, don't think I go along with it, because I say I don't. I always say I just wish at least one out of my family would take after me and not drink and not smoke. We gotta see though.
Well, you have mentioned your children quite a bit. Maybe we could just talk about you could just name them and when they were born from the first one.
Well, I could just say I could just name them, but I don't have to say when they were born, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. I had Arthur, John, Minook, Walter, Minook, Fred Minook, that's who my first husband, Henry Minook, and then I remarried, and I had the twins, that's Tommy and Jerry, and Francis, and Joyce, and Jeanette, Julie, Jackie, Bernadette, and Judy. How many do I have there? Yeah. Did I get all of them? Yeah, there's Arthur, and there's Walter, and there's Fred, Jerry, and Tommy, and Francis, Joyce, Jeanette, Julie, Jackie, Bernadette, and Judy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 12. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Your dad is my son.
And how many grandchildren?
I have 14 grandchildren.
And are most of them here? No.
Two.
I have a hostel here.
Mm-hmm. I have two adopted out. Mm-hmm. That's... You don't have to mention that, though. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Another thing maybe to talk about is how you order your food and, prepare ahead for every year.
Well, how I do it is I work as a laundry and housekeeping supervisor at the hospital. I'll have 20 years in January. And what I do is I declare no dependent. It's just 0-0. And as a result, well, I get a big refund. That's all from my annual order from Acme Provisioner, you know.
Oh, so when you file your income tax, then you claim your dependents?
When I file, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. And then almost all my children go to school, so that way it helps, you know. And then there's this new thing too, you can declare the amount of oil you burn and some gas that you burn, you know. Electricity too, they told me, but I never claimed for that. But I never claimed for gas. Because I don't use that much gas anyway. It's such a short way most of the time. Most of the time I walk. But not all the time. When it's good, they always drive me down. Since I'm getting older, I like to ride to work. Because I'm on my feet all day long anyway, you know.
So when you order the whole year's food?
Mm-hmm.
How much food is that?
Well, I could look it up. Mm-hmm. This year I ordered 7 boxes of pallet bread. 10 cases of milk.
There are boxes of pirate bread. Is that cases of it?
Yeah, 7 cases. Mm-hmm.
So how many boxes in one case?
There's 12 of those, 32. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And then 3 cases of powdered milk. And then 3 of those 10 5-pound bags. That's how many pounds is that? And it goes up to only 33.48. So that's 50 pounds, right? That's 150 pounds of flour this year. That's not much. I didn't order too much this year because I don't make that much bread anymore anyway. And I feel like it only. I make biscuits though when there's potlatch. And then the cereal, and then dog food. 5 big bags, you know, that's...
How many dogs do you have?
I have 4 house pets. That's all they are, really. And then I get one, 2, 3, 4 cases of soup. That's 48 to a case. 10 ounce or whatever. And then tuna, about 2 cases. And Crisco, that's 3 cases. That's 6 pound case. And then I order a little jelly and jam. Pickles, olives, crackers, you know, those, what do you call it? Sort of crackers, that's what I call it. Biscuit, coffee, tea, sugar, syrup, macaroni, beans, 2 cans of beans, northern beans and red Idaho, rice, tissue, paper towel, plastic bags, and then some fruit, like applesauce, apricots, cranberries, fruit for salad, mandarin orange, peaches, pears, pineapple, and a lot of Kool-Aid. A lot of Kool-Aid, as you can see. And pork and beans, 2 cases, corn, cream corn, tomatoes, ketchup, syrup, stuff like that. And then the rest I get from Fairbanks, like butter, bacon, eggs, or most of the time down here when I'm lazy to order.
So you get a big shipment that comes into Nevada on the train and then the barge?
Yes, I keep track of it too every year, see, 1978, 79. Yeah. That's that.
You're saying that not that many people order this way, huh?
No. My credit is good. Even if I'm short, they'll ship it anyway because, you know, I'll be paying it. I sort of have a kind of account with them, and that's the first thing I do when I get my income tax return. I just send it to them, and then they put it to my account. So I make good use of my refund.
Is there any kind of food that you used to eat growing up that you miss now? Or you miss?
Well, like I say, Lush. We used to eat a lot of that liver and fish eggs out of Lush because that's the only time it has fish eggs and great big liver. You bake it and it's good. I like that.
Does anybody fish?
Not since I came up here. I don't see anybody fishing under the ice like we used to down around Galena.
Is that because nobody does it anymore? Or is it not?
They say they used to do it long ago. Mrs. Ilya used to do it, I guess. Leave it Ilya's mother, but I don't know. Nobody does it anymore.
Oh, I'm so wondering about Mission Island, and also
that's what our celebration is named after, Nutchaloya. Just the point of the, I guess all the big chiefs used to gather here long ago, from all over, because this is the main point, I guess. And they used to just come here and gather here at the old mission. It used to be a big village there at one time.
They all gathered there before it was called Mission Village?
Yes, they had their old mission way down below. You could just see it right below that Bull Island. But then I guess there was a bar coming up, and I guess the steamboats couldn't land there. So the mission, Episcopal Church, had a deal down there, you know, they had their church, I guess, but when they decided they're going to move, that's when they put in their application for 500 and something acres of land there at that old mission. and it was granted them, the land, the Episcopal Mission. 500 and some acres. Tzitna, the Native Corporation, got 20 acres out of it. Yeah, we bought, and then we sold it back to people that needed land because they said they want to build a house. That was about almost 3 years ago. Nobody, I have yet to see anybody build anything there. But there's quite a few people that's getting material for a house up there now. They're just waiting for a road to go through to the place, and then they say they'll start building. It's kind of hard. There's no road to the place, so as a, they're worried that they cannot get back and forth as easy.
So the Episcopal Church still
own
all the rest of it?
Yes, right. Except for the 20 acres that we bought from them.
So anyway, that Mission Island, you said the name, the Indian name is?
Mission people call it Nuchiluoya. Nuchiluoya. And like in my language, downriver, I call it Nuchiluoyat.
Mm-hmm. You talked about, we didn't have a tape recorder on, and you're talking about how people say it different from your area, from where you came.
Well, that's just what I'm telling you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's different. Yeah, my language is a little different than theirs. Well, even people from here at Tanana, when I first came, I noticed that, like Alice, James. I noticed when I first came up in 1940, Alice Grant and all of them, they talk like me, I noticed, you know. And then when I go up Mission, it's different. Yeah. Oh, Alice, she later married Thompson. She's from here, but their homestead was way down around below Old Mission. Around, that's where her daughter has got a camp going there again now.
Did you ever hear stories about what it was like here when all the big chiefs used to come together and all the people?
Yeah. I heard they used to come by canoes or whatever mean they can come, and it used to take them a long time to get back to their own villages, but that's the way they used to meet.
How far away were they
from? Some came from Tanana Cross, I heard, north way, and way up the river and down river. There's pictures of them. There's pictures of all kinds of chiefs, you know, that old picture. You see it in a 100 times. Those are the people that came from all over the place.
Talk
about
the river a little more,
because
the last couple
of
days, well, yesterday we went out, and
you're
talking about how you don't like to go out when it's rough.
Yeah, it's just one of my own thing. Well, I guess a lot of people feel that way. I know a friend of mine, Florence Akad, feel the same way. She don't like to be out on the river when it's rough.
Did you feel like that when you were young?
No. I had no fear. I'm just cautious, I guess, in my old age. I don't know. So I used to tell my old man. And then he never did monkey around on the river. Because, you know, I didn't like it. I was spoiled. Yeah, never get another man like him, though. Like, I'd be out visiting, and if supper time come around, he don't wait for me. He just cook. Yeah, he couldn't understand dirty dishes. There's little dirty dishes. He'll wash dishes. He's a neat person. Right. yes, that was Barney Grant. I mean, Barney Nolan. That's one. Another rough. Yes, that's when it got me thinking, you know. And one time his boat swam, he came up here and I tell him, since when you start wearing life jacket? And he said, well, ever since I was in a terrible accident, he said. No, never wear it before that. No need to, it seemed like, you know. It seems like we're always careful. But now, you never know when the river is going to get choppy. So I always tell my kids, be sure and wear a life jacket. Not always. When we used to travel back and forth to Kaikuk and Mulato, we never even heard of the thing. We never even hear about life jackets. But we didn't go that fast either, but still accident can happen.
Does the river get choppy real fast? Like, could you go out sometimes and it would be calm and then longer out?
Oh, yes. It happened a lot of times. That's one time we were hunting up Tanner River. And it was just nice. And it just got so stormy. And I guess Heine Summers came up. And he told the kids, he said, is your mom and dad home yet? And he said no. And then when he was coming back down, he stopped again and he asked the kids and he said, oh, well, I think your mom and dad has more sense. They know when to land, or I don't think they'll travel in the wind like this, you know. And I thought it was so nice that a person could be concerned about us, you know. And then we came back early that morning. After it calmed down, we had to stop. Like I said up there, below Hastley, so it was too choppy.
Did you do that very many times?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. But then what's another night, you know? We'll figure, well, better to stay put than to try to cross the Yukon River in that big waves, you know?
Most people stay out of the river
when it's rough? Or are there some people that just go? I always see them. But nothing happened to them.
You mentioned that you're trying to learn how to tell the weather from clouds.
Oh, yes. I learned a lot from Florence Albert. And one time we were coming home from, I guess it was something went on, and we were just coming home late. This is early in the fall, you know, like the first snow is on the ground or something like that. And then the moon was coming up. And then she was looking at the moon and she said, the moon is leaning back, she says. You know, well, the moon is like this. Yes, and it's like this, you know. And he said, that shows that it's going to be a good winter, she said. Plenty meat. Because she said it's leaning back on its, something like in Indian, she said, pack sack. You know, I forgot how she said it. It's a fancy word, you know. Mm-hmm. It's leaning back. It's on kind of its pack sack, you say, in Indian, you know. I mean, that's the way I interpret the thing. And she said, it's going to be plenty of meat, you know. Good winter. But she said, if it's leaning forward, she said, that's going to be a lean winter. Mm-hmm. Trapping is not going to be too good and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.